Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski with us this morning. We're going to talk about county things. We'll get into the budget and as we go along this morning. Chris, good morning. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning.
One of the things, and I'm just now learning a lot of the details, but the J-Ramp in the Massaponics area has been a big program and a big idea that the county has been pursuing. You and Supervisor Gary Skinner especially have talked a lot about this, and I guess sort of some bad news on the J-Ramp front.
Well, a little bit of a setback, yes. There's since it's a federal highway, we have to work with the feds on getting approval to do anything to their road. And so what was done a couple years ago, it's called an interchange modification report. And what that basically says is, if you do this improvement, what happens? It's a good planning document. There's nothing wrong with doing it. It takes a bit of time and a bit of money to do it, but of course, it's better to do it up front than to, you know, mess something up and have to pay for it on the back end. And so what that did was, it showed that the J ramp, which would basically curve around by CarMax and get you right onto South Point Parkway. Mm-hmm. And avoid the Route 1 mess at the bottom of the hill. What it basically showed is that if you only did the J-Ramp by itself, with not one other improvement to Route 1, to 95, to the exit, to Route 208, South Point Parkway, if you don't do anything else, it fails. And so the feds said that they don't want us to do it because it's going to fail, which... Remember that the county's paying the entire freight on this. There's no federal money. There's no state money. This is us paying it all.
That's what I thought.
And currently, that interchange fails anyway.
Yeah.
It backs up onto the interstate, and it's a major accident waiting to happen. And so what the county did was, they said, okay, fine, working with VDOT, of course, and VDOT's been very, very good with us on this, is this is part of the super ramp idea for the fix for the Massaponics area overall. And so... What was done was, it was called some planning documents and planning studies to look at not only the J-Ramp, not only the super ramp, but then what they did is they included, I do believe it's to 2035 or 2040, all the growth trends in that area, in the surrounding area, of what's already been approved, what's coming up, all those types of things, so that we can understand when this growth happens, what is it going to look like, and what is it going to take to fix it? And so this document, what it does is, it shows that there's a lot of failures, obviously. There's a lot of failures now, but you put more people there, it's going to fail continuously. And so what it shows is that we need to do other improvements and other things. There's the connection between where the Capital One buildings are, Spotsylvania Avenue, over to Germanna Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
That's a connection. You know, widening and increasing capacity on Route 208, that's another one. So there's many things that we have to do. And so what the feds are looking for from us is basically a commitment that we will go beyond the J-Ramp. Because if we only do the J-Ramp, like I said, it's going to fail, and they don't want us to do it at all. So... the idea is to go and do more, but how do you go and do more? You know, do you sign a pledge? You know, because we're only here for 4 years. You can't bind a future board.
Yeah.
The only way you can bind a future board is with future debt. And so if you start a project, then future boards have to continue that project.
Sure.
And so we're weighing this very carefully, because, of course, it is a big commitment. And we're working with the state to make sure that what we undertake is not only going to, first of all, it's going to work. I mean, that's the whole point to this thing, so that you're not throwing money out the window. But then number two is, how can we do it so that it is, that we absorb the cost in a fiscally conservative manner? We don't want to hit our taxpayers, nor to affect services in such a way just to get something done, just to alleviate traffic. So what we're looking at is to this upcoming year, and we're going to have a discussion once this budget process is over in a couple of weeks. What we're going to do is discuss taking the next steps of the super ramp. I think it was broken into 10 or 12 phases, and we've already committed to doing the first two or three. And what we will do then is apply for state funding. They have, it's the bill number is HB2. It's commonly referred to as that.
Yeah.
And we already went through that process this year with Exit 118, and it got approved. Now we're waiting for the funding to go. But basically what that does is it's a process to say, this project that you have is a good project, and it scores well in making an impact in a positive way. And so we're putting it together to go through that process. So instead of us starting this summer on doing the J-Ramp, it looks like we'll probably have to wait till next summer. But we've already been doing little pieces, so we're not going to, you know, start from zero once they say go. We're already going to have some work accomplished. But it's you know, it's a tedious process, but, you know, it is, we can't change it. So to complain about it, you'd bang your head against the wall forever. So, but the point is that we are moving in that direction. And hopefully we will get the entire super ramp completed, which I think will definitely help traffic in the area.
So is this something then, will the Commonwealth Transportation Board ultimately have a say in this?
Yes, they're the ones who ultimately agree to the funding. And so the first step of it is to go through and to get your plan reviewed to make sure that it works and it works well. And how does that line up to other plans? Because, you know, everybody has a plan. And so, you know, is my plan better than yours? Of course, I think mine is, and you think yours is. So there's a system. And of course, you know, there's some kinks in it. It'll probably have to, you know, be tweaked as we go along. But at least we're moving in the direction of trying to find a way to look at projects not from a me and you kind of standpoint, you know, county to county or jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but regionally. We're looking at them. We're also looking to make sure that they fit in a larger plan of what can be done, because these things cost an awful lot of money, and there's a very limited amount of money to do projects. So you got to spend money wisely, and I think that this is it's a good step, but it is going to take time. All this stuff takes so much time, but hopefully it will get approved, and we can get funding, and we can get moving on it.
Just like the Falmouth intersection just took a long time. Once it was finished and it worked, it was great. But boy, it was a lot of years.
You almost wonder, why did it take so long?
Yeah.
You know, when it's all done, it's such a good idea. But yeah, you're right. That's something that I had heard about for the past 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. We never were getting it. There was new ideas. Well, and when you talk about the scoring, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because the only experience I've seen around here with that is the 630 interchange in Stafford. And Stafford supervisors weren't happy at all with what happened. Money had been taken away, and a lot of that scoring kind of went into effect. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Spotsylvania now.
Well, and that's I think the reason that they put the bill together was to make sure that, you know, when we're working in the Fredericksburg VDOT district, which goes down the northern neck, there's a certain amount of money, and you know, it can get all sucked up into one project, such as, you know, Stafford's interchange or our interchange. I mean, it's just those projects are a lot of money. And so the scoring process really makes sure that big projects, just because they're big doesn't mean that they're going to work. And just because you take a road and you go from 2 lanes to 9 lanes does not mean that that's going to alleviate the traffic problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that what they do is there's a whole litany of things that they go through to make sure that when we compete, well, and then again, when we compete with places like, say, you know, Northumberland, you know, we're moving regional traffic a lot with the interstate improvements. But when you get down to Northumberland, you don't have a lot of that.
No.
But they do have issues themselves, and they have legitimate issues that, you know, need to be addressed also. So you can't just take all the money away from the rest of the district and say, well, it's not as important because ours is more important. So it kind of balances it out. And and it makes sure that, that the projects do work, hopefully.
Over there across from CarMax, there's all this construction, and it looks, are those apartments being built?
Yes.
Town? Okay, that's what it looks like. It had the look of an apartment.
Yeah, that's the H.H. Hunt project that was approved. That whole, something people don't, I think, realize is that whole area where Walmart, Lowe's, that whole development, even the parkway, all of that was zoned residential and a little bit of commercial, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And the what my understanding is that the county wanted to get a Walmart back in because we had lost the one on Route 3. It went to Central Park. That was a big hit on our budget, roughly $1 million, somewhere around there. So what we were looking to do is to get that back. So there was work with the developer, and actually the county was the applicant to get that rezoned into straight commercial. And so that entire parcel down there, all those acres, was turned just into commercial. And you see, we got the Lowe's and we got the Walmart. We got all the other stuff that has come in there and has been a boom to the county with all the taxes that it brings in. And so what had happened is the upper part of that, there's only so much commercial you can put into an area. I mean, Central Park, for all the positives that it had, is an old development. It's been around since, 95, I think, is when the Lowe's opened, or 96. And so those type of things, you know, there's ebbs and flows to how development goes along, and that is kind of the old way to do things. Now the new way to do things is, you know, put an interesting concept. You put people into the commercial districts so they don't have to drive to get to the commercial districts. Wow, that's, you know, those are called cities, I think. But anyway, that's the new concept. So that was brought to us for a rezoning, to put in those apartments across the way, and then next to CarMax in there is going to be a mix of commercial and residential, and it's going to be walkable community, that type of stuff. And so that's moving along, but I know the apartments are going up quickly. It's an H.H. Hunt project. It's very, very nicely done and very well taken care of, and a very good company.
Yep, I remember seeing that. Remember, it went through the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors. That was about a couple years ago.
Right.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here. When we come back, we'll get into some of the budget stuff and some of the other more controversial things going on in Spotsylvania. When we come back on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski is our guest this morning. A couple weeks ago, it's been seen by a lot of people and talked about a county teacher was or some comments, derogatory comments made toward her a couple of times in a meeting. You put together a resolution that the county board passed that basically apologized for what happened. And boy, the tensions are running high, and I guess everybody you hope that people can be on their best behavior. We saw a lot of this during the baseball discussions, a lot of things, and you hope that you don't we don't keep seeing this kind of thing. But unfortunately, this kind of thing seems to be happening in Spotsylvania, where I don't see it, and in covering the city in Stafford like we've been seeing.
Well, it is unfortunate, and let me start by saying that free speech is a right that we have, and the ability to address our elected officials is a sacred one that should never be infringed. So when there was a board member that brought up that when we as board members are attacked, that should be called down. And, you know, I give a lot more leeway to that because, you know, I ran for this position. Mm-hmm. I asked to be here. People rewarded me with that, and so I represent them. So do I take those types of attacks personally? You know, it gets annoying. I mean, you're just human. But usually what is said about me is just stupid. So I just let it roll off. Mm-hmm. And you can see that it usually comes from the same person or same type of people. And, you know, if somebody needs to blow off steam and yell at the board, you know, that's their right. I mean, we are the representatives of the government. And so I completely understand that. And that unless that crosses a line to the point where there's obscenities or threats, or it's just repetitious and you got to move the speaker on, that type of stuff doesn't bother me. But when you have somebody that stands up, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a Tea Party member, whether it's anybody, they are up there and they have that right to speak for that amount of time and not be interrupted, not be heckled from the back, not be hissed at and everything else like you had mentioned during the baseball thing, which I think brought out just some of the most disturbing behavior I've seen coming from. These are adults too, by the way. And some of these are, you know, other people that if you meet in regular life, you really wonder why they would behave in this manner. But they do, and you know, that just shows them for who they are. And so when you're up there and you're talking, to be interrupted, to be heckled, any of that type of stuff, I think the board needs to do a better job. The chairman especially, our chairman was absent at the time. And so I don't hold the vice chairman responsible, because I've sat in that chair. When something happens, it happens so quick.
Oh, it does.
You know, you can't react. You're not sitting there holding the gavel waiting, except with some people you might want to hold the gavel and wait, because you know something ridiculous is going to come out of their mouth. But short of that, I don't hold him responsible. What needs to be said, and I think I had brought this up at one of the first meetings this year, is just to let people know what a public presentation time is all about. Right. I'm going to push again for there to be actual posters out in the lobby. So when you're signing up, you can just read the simple points of what it means. We finally got a kill switch with the microphone.
That was interesting, because I have not seen that around here. And I think that's a good idea, because a lot of times people will say just a minute.
Right.
And it can go on another minute, minute and a half.
Right. I mean, and if you're trying to wrap up your thoughts, I understand it. I've seen some elderly people that are, you know, they're not used to speaking in public. I get that. And I have a soft spot for people that, you know, are nervous and they're trying to get their point across. And so I completely understand that. And I don't think that those are the people we were really trying to target. We're trying to target those people that knowingly have used their time and continue on in a very disrespectful manner to everybody else who's sitting there.
Right.
And so it was either a kill switch or a hook, you know, to drag them off the stage.
The hook would have been fun to watch.
Yeah, it would have. but you know, when you're up there and you're speaking, you should be respectful. And so that was the point of the resolution. And it was also because the attack continued on. And if you want to attack people, which apparently this group is now continuing to attack, they have a website that will not give out because they don't need any traffic on there. But you could just see the hatred and the anger that they have. And they're targeting our teachers, which I think is just repulsive. And, you know, of all the people that really do above and beyond for our community, you know, our teachers are ranked right up there, the majority. I mean, you're going to have a bad apple no matter where you go.
Sure.
But the overwhelming majority are outstanding teachers, and they do well with what they have and what they have to work under too. And so the point of the resolution was basically to say, you know, this shouldn't happen. Please have some civility. It was to regret that it happened to the teacher. I don't like these apologies where I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm not going to apologize because I didn't do it, but I'm sorry that you had to go through that, and whatever role I had to play in that occurring, you know, I do express my regrets for that occurring. And so, you know, unfortunately, that only passed 5-2, and I think the newspaper did a good job of really summing up the counterpoints to that. But I'm hoping that this will stop. It's not helpful. It's not necessary. There's plenty of ways that if you want to get your point across, there's emails, there's phone calls. You know, I've been stopped in, you know, BJ's before as I'm shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And people have talked to me one guy for quite a long time. But that's fine. That, you know, I'm there.
Yeah.
And I don't mind, you know, discussing with my fellow citizens what's going on. But, you know, let's just be respectful to each other, and let's just stop with the childishness and the name calling and the attacking, because it does your side no good.
Not in this case, and not that even if she hadn't had her daughter there, but
right.
Her sixth grade daughter standing there and just it was hard to watch.
Oh, well, yeah, I have a sixth grade daughter too. And yeah, I felt completely, well, there, you get a lot of emotions because you can picture yourself there.
Well, and that's, yes.
Or your wife.
And you that's, know? Yeah, that's, and that's what I did. And I remember saying to my wife afterwards, I said, I wouldn't want you to speak in front of this board.
Right.
Just because of either there's going to be no action or just what happens with the crowd. And you don't want that. You want to have people that do feel like, even if they're the only one in the room who's against something, that they can speak and, you know, pour out their heart to you.
Right. And you had mentioned that it happened last summer during that whole debate. And I received emails and letters and phone calls from people that said either I was there or I was going to talk, or while I was talking on the opposite side of the packed room, what they thought. You know, there was heckling, there was name calling, there were obscenities that were mm-hmm. yelled at people. And, you know, that kind of stuff just shouldn't happen. And it's truly is an embarrassment, not for our county, because our county's not doing it. Those people hold the responsibility
yeah.
for what they do and how they act. And but the thing that needs to be done is the spotlight needs to be put on them so that we can see who they are, what they're doing, what they're acting like, and then we know exactly who is doing this. And I'm not going to paint a big broad brush, because 99% of the people that get up there to talk are good people who mm-hmm. respect the rules and respect each other and are just there simply to share an issue or, you know, talk to the board about something.
Well, and it's good to see people have passion. It's good to see that boardroom packed, because in the city and in Stafford, a lot of times on big issues, you don't see that. You don't see people as involved. So people are involved, but you've got to be able to be respectful.
Well, absolutely. And that's, you know, another thing too is just town hall meetings, which myself and our mm-hmm. my school board representative, Mr. Braswell, are holding April 6th. The big public hearing is April 5th at Cortland High School to come and talk to the board about the budget and the tax rate. And then the very next day, as me and him were talking, a lot of what happens at that meeting is that people might leave, because it takes a long time to go through all those speakers. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get there early, you don't sign up early, you get there late, you just don't have the time. So at least for my district, and if you live in other districts and you want to come, that's fine too. April 6th, the very next day at Cortland, we're going to meet, and we're going to be up in the library, starting at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And you know, it's a very informal setting, so please come talk. It's me and him, and we'll have some handouts, and we'll talk about the budget and what's happening, and anything else you might want to talk about.
April 6th, Cortland High School, the library at 7 o'clock
is my town hall.
Your town hall meeting. It's the 5th is the board budget public hearing at Cortland.
Yes.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here. We'll continue to talk budget stuff when we come back in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
I have the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski is here. We mentioned that April the 5th is the budget public hearing at Cortland High School. It seems, Chris, I mean, I guess the county advertised an 86 cent tax rate, so that's as high as it's going to be. It seems like the board is looking at anywhere from 83 to 86 cents. Is that probably what the tax rate will be, somewhere in that range?
Right. Yes. Yeah. The equalized rate is the 83,
yeah.
which is that word gets thrown around a lot. And what it is 100% of the revenues that were generated plus 1%. So 83 cents would basically keep us pretty much even with what we got last year and a little bit more to spend.
There is a flyer that's been going around that talks about it's aimed at teachers. And one of the things that stands out is that teachers in Spotsylvania are paid a decent salary, is what it says, $70,000. On average, and it goes from there. Stuff like this, I guess, makes it you know, we're just talking about adding fuel to the fire and getting people riled up. Something like this surely does. Do we know who's behind this flyer that's been going around?
Well, you know, we have our guesses.
I mean,
it's, you know, the stupidity of some is it's very limited to a small group of people, and they seem to be putting these things together. It's you know, very cowardly that you put this out and you don't put a name on it.
Right. You look at it. I was looking at it and thinking, okay, who's saying this?
Right. It they don't put their name on it. They don't own it, but yet they want to put this stuff out there. And again, it's political free speech. You can say anything that you want. Nobody's trying to shut anybody up or shut them down or jail them. This is not Venezuela. You know, some people would prefer to be a martyr because I think that they enjoy the strife in their life and it's fulfilling in some way. But for the rest of us that lead normal lives, we don't enjoy this type of stuff. We do like to have healthy debate. And there's something to be said about having a healthy debate. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with you staking out your position, I stake out mine, and we debate it. And we go, because obviously I believe that I'm correct, because if not, I wouldn't have that position. And the same goes for you. So, you know, let's have those type of debates. You know, this goes back to the respect and civil debate discussion we just had. But also what is included in that is you if you want to make stuff up, then you're going to be called on it. And then don't act as though you are being targeted because you're not being – you personally, I don't care about you. I really don't. These people really do not affect my life. You know, I like most people, have more important things to worry about than what they think or what they're going to be doing, except to the fact that I want to make sure that the truth gets out there. And that people understand that, you know, for instance, talking with school board members, I did say, you know, is this how much money your teachers make? Because it has been put out there. And they said, absolutely not. And I've heard from an awful lot of teachers that they don't even make close to this.
No.
And so to say it as a fact and then to be rebutted and prove that you were wrong does not make you a martyr, does not make you, you know, under attack. What it makes you is pretty much a poor fact checker when it comes to your own flyers. And I would suggest that you do a better job getting the information correct. Because if you do want to argue your point and you do think that perhaps there should be no tax increase, quote unquote, that's fine. But then don't claim that teachers make, you know, a ridiculous amount of money. Because even at $70,000 a year, you know, I would think that there'd be many people who would think that teachers still would be underpaid because of the role that they play in our society. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, that's not to say that every single teacher that is out there is the best and some shouldn't be removed because there are, you know, there is a bad apple in every bunch. But the fact that they every single year have to come and almost beg, would you please help us? Shouldn't come as any surprise either, because when we do budgeting, we do a five-year plan of what it's going to look like. And, you know, there's talk this year of taking money and giving it to the schools, which the 86-cent rate actually does give them almost $3 million for their debt service, which was the bond referendum of 2014. It's to cover those oncoming costs. Mm-hmm. And that would be the biggest transfer over to the schools in, you know, 6 years, 7 years. I mean, it's been a long time since they've gotten that kind of money from the county. And so part of what the debate has been is the amount of money that we have sitting. We have financial stability funds that sit there. And what that does is basically back up our budget just in case, you know, God forbid, a natural disaster happens or, you know, something that's man-made that would affect the cash flow in the county for us to meet our obligations. You know, if we had a large structure that was producing a lot of money, had a fire, and all of a sudden that's offline and that money's not coming in, what do you do? One of the things that that we did last year was we set up these an additional financial stability fund because we already have the big one. And the big one is what the bond rating agencies look at. And they say, do you have enough money? And we basically have an 11% of our budget is sitting in the bank so that if anything really happens, you know, we have that to cover.
Yeah.
But this one was a smaller one, because really what you should be up to is about 16% is what they say. You should cover about 2 months or so of your cost. So we set this up, and now all of a sudden, the loan member who voted against doing it wants to use all that money to give to the schools, which, again, let's have a debate. I have nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. So the debate would then be, do we take money that is one-time money? So you're taking money out of your savings account, and you're going to put it into ongoing cost. And that's if that is the decision of the board, that was done years ago when I was on the board. I actually voted against it. I was the lone member to do it. But if that is the decision the board makes, that's perfectly okay. But understand that next year, you now have a higher bottom line, and you have no savings account. So now you have an even bigger canyon that you have to fill. And how do you do that? So it's not that I'm against funding whatsoever. I just want to make sure that when we do it, it's done smart, and that we make sure that the out years, you know, we're not putting ourselves into such a hole, or future boards. You know, for example, if we're doing some of this budgeting that is poorly thought out, you know, next year I'm up for election, and if whatever happens with that, if I'm not there, I want to leave the next board member in a good position, so that they're not put up against the wall where the decision they have to make is now, geez, thanks for the hole you put us in. We now have to raise taxes by, you know, 10, 12, even 5 pennies on the tax rate, because I think that's a poor way to manage the budget. And so we'll have that discussion. We'll see. I really don't think that we should be taking one-time money and giving it for ongoing expenses. I think it's a bad practice to get into, because there will always be needs. And if we dip into this fund, why don't we dip into that fund? And why don't we do this? And why don't we just – it's just a bad way to do our budget. So, but we'll have a debate, and we'll see what happens, and we'll have some answers. And we vote on the budget on April 12th. So we'll see what happens at that point.
I guess another issue to be debated and discussed, probably not right now, but outside of the budget – it's just the whole idea of the whole AAA bond rating. Is that something you want to go after? Because you are having to set more money aside and have more in reserves to have a chance for that.
Right. Well, you know, that is the board policy question that I thought that most board members were all in agreement that we wanted to go for AAA. And again, AAA is not going to happen next year or the year after. It's a long process to show that we are fiscally responsible with what our dollars are and how our budget practices go and our financial guidelines are. It will take a while. I know that I think Stafford was rated AAA by one agency.
They've gotten one, and they're going for a second. And I guess the reason you want to go after it is you'll borrow money for less.
Correct.
So there's a definite benefit.
Right. Well, yeah, and especially for a growing community. To be able to borrow at a cheaper amount is incredibly helpful, because we will have to borrow. You can't, you know, approve 13,000 houses and not think that you're going to need another fire station at some point. And we don't have cash sitting in the bank because some members want to give that to the school board. So now we have nothing. So it does make sense to go ahead and try to go for a AAA. And even if we don't get a AAA, having good, sound financial practices in the county is what we as elected officials should be striving for. Because if you run your household or your business this way, if you run them in a negative way, it will fall apart. And we don't want to do that to our local government, because this is where we live. We'll leave that up to the state to mess it up and the feds to really screw things up. But I'm not about to be responsible for leaving that type of legacy, nor, you know, acting in such a way that you know, we get downgraded or we do certain things that, you know, are damaging to our community.
Have you decided what tax rate you're going to support, or have you not? Or have you come to a feeling of what you'd like to see the tax rate be?
Oh, 86 cents. Yeah, okay. We have to do that, because if we don't do it, we have no capital projects that will be done. And this idea that we can, you know, use one-time money to fill that gap, I don't think is the right way to do it, nor to say that we're not doing it. It's irresponsible, in my opinion. We have too many needs that are out there, and this is part of the bond referendum that did pass. And in my district, everyone except one passed. And so I don't think that it's right for me to go to the voters, say, what do you think? They say, you have the ability to do it if we can afford it, and we can't afford it. And then to say to them, well, no, I don't think that we should do it. And the rationale is simply because we want to go with some arbitrary number that makes us feel better about ourselves, that we, quote, didn't raise taxes. Because if anybody's tax rate goes up or tax bill goes up, that they are paying more taxes. So I've always said, let's get away from using those type of things and let's focus on spending and make sure that spending is being done in our core services to make sure that they are healthy and strong, because that's how a good, strong community is built. And if you start getting behind on those things, mm-hmm. I mean, we see it with other communities around the country where they start falling apart, and then you have to raise taxes to just make up. You have to add, more deputies, more police, because your crime rate is out of control. I mean, just things like that, we should not even be in the realm of. We should never even get close to any of that stuff. So instead of leaving a bad budget for future boards to deal with, let's do what we need to do and do it incrementally so that we make sure we keep up with our needs.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski here. We'll wrap this up. We'll talk about a concealed carry fee that you've talked about, and we'll wrap this up when we come back in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski has been our special guest this morning. You the board debated a little bit the other night, and you've talked about wanting to reduce the concealed carry fee. And I think you said the other night that this is something that Prince William County has done.
Right.
And that's where you kind of got the idea and wanted to watch and see how that went.
You know, one of the things that I had learned my first term on the board was, and it's not earth shaking or groundbreaking. Other counties have been where we are and they do other things. So why don't we watch what's happening in our own state? Since we all operate underneath the same Dillon rule and everything else. And so Prince William is someplace I've got to know a lot of the board members up there and the chairmen's up there of, you know, how do they handle different issues? How do they handle growth? How do they immigration when years ago when that was it still is a big issue, but before the feds took the carpet out from underneath the states and the localities, what could we do? And so I worked with Prince William an awful lot on that. So I saw that they were going ahead and they were going to talk about reducing the fee on the concealed carry permit, which it's currently capped at $50 for the permit, and it's a 5-year permit, and then you have to renew. Mm-hmm. And the minimum amount is $15, and that's what the state, again, with a state mandate, they say it only costs $15 to do this, but you can charge $50, which it does. It costs more than $15. And so Prince William went ahead and they had two meetings. The first meeting, I think it was tabled or it didn't go any further. And then the second meeting, it came over and they passed it. And so they reduced it all the way down. And so my idea was to have the debate. Let's just talk about it. Let's see, is this something that we can do? I'm a strong believer in the Second Amendment. And the Supreme Court, not that they need to, but they have reaffirmed that the Second Amendment is an individual, not a group right. And so by doing so, concealed carry, open carry, all of that is, if you're a lawful citizen, then you should be able to do it. So what restrictions are there in place, to make it difficult? And not that we do this whatsoever, but there are other communities that make it so difficult. So fine, you want to get a concealed carry permit, you know, here it's going to cost X number of dollars, and it's very prohibitive they make it so because they want to make it prohibitive. And so one of the things that we hear an awful lot and people on our board complain about, and I do too, is that, you know, the federal government puts down mandates, the state government puts down mandates, and there's very little wiggle room we have to do anything.
Yeah.
So this is something that we actually have a hand in, something that we can actually do. And so we had a debate about it. Well, a discussion, not really a debate, because I really don't think that there's anybody out there who, on our board at least, who, you know, is against the Second Amendment at all. I think we're all very strong on it. But the discussion was basically, you know, do we reduce the fee because there is a cost that is associated with it? My argument is there's a cost associated with policing the community, but we don't charge people per call.
Yeah.
It's just basically what goes on. And as a constitutional right, it should be part of, you know, the taxes that we all pay, because we don't charge people to come up and talk at the dais. It's a freedom of speech. You don't have to put a quarter in to get the light on.
Yeah.
Which, if we did, we can make some money.
I was going to say, yes.
Close that budget gap.
Somebody's got to pay for that mic switch.
Well, yeah. But, you know, we have rights. And the discussion was mainly to see, can we reduce it? We talked to the sheriff's department to see how much work is in there. This is not about burdening the sheriff or the clerk of the court or the judge or anybody that's involved in it. It's just simply to see what we can do. And what we basically did was we said, let's put it on as one of the items we want to talk about in the future, but we took no action. But I think we will bring it up in the future. The total budget hit, by the way, if we were to reduce it all the way down to $15, would be roughly about $50,000 a year. Okay. And so, you know, if it came to that, I would gladly make sure that we got the money over to the sheriff to make sure that he's not short on his budget at all.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski, again, you're having a public hearing or a town hall meeting with Baron Braswell of the school board, April 6th at Cortland High School at 7 o'clock.
Yes, and April 5th is the big one at Cortland High School at 6:30.
Chris, thank you. See you next month. Thank you for all your insights today. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.